My son is a fan of Jackson. So that's how we ended up with a cat named Lamar.
A cat named Lamar. It's pretty funny.
It's a great cat name.
Yeah.
Dominic's too busy fixing his candles to know that there's a show going on.
Oh, we started the show.
Yeah.
So I gotta let me know. I wish I was just joking. Yes, I have a candle. I'm into candles now. It's my thing. It's my hobby.
That's not a candle. That's why you could wear that on your head and protect yourself in NFL games.
That should not
be filled with wax.
This is the third largest candle I've owned. This is just a three wicker. I have a five wicker. Well, I had a five wicker. I burned it out, and it's my thing now.
Never gone above three myself. I don't know of the store that sells those.
Anthropology got these monsters. Oh yeah, today's topics. We got Nets, Celtics, Timberwolves, 76ers, and then we have a new game. Is this a new game? I don't think I've ever played it. It is a new game?
Take it or leave it.
Yeah, a new game called Take It or Leave It, where Alabaster gives us some takes and we decide whether they're good or not. I can't wait for it. We got Israel Gutierrez, the genius. Then we have the bearded ones.
What? Spence. Clearly ran out of things to say, had no idea where to go, and went with the genius on this one. Nobody has ever called me that.
That's fair. This is Pablo's seat. He normally steers this thing. I don't know what to call you guys. I was going to go with Spencer as the bearded one, but you've shaken my confidence, so I'll just go Spencer. Give us the topic, Alabaster.
All right. We're going to start with...
Thanks a lot, Izzy.
Dominique, to your point, basketball season has started. We have exciting NBA games.
Finally.
And, yesterday, we had the best game of the weekend, which was Nets and Celtics. Kyrie went off, but then Jason Tatum won it at the gun with the layup. Now, question, how do you see the rest of the Nets-Celtics series playing out?
A, we don't need an 82-game preseason. Like, let's stop that with that foolishness. But I'm happy that the regular season actually here. And who cares about – I guess we'll get to how we see the series going. But first, we got to go middle finger talk. Like, I feel like Kyrie slipping middle fingers and then not even trying to hide them in his luscious locks. Just outright, full extension, elbow locked, finger pointed after cooking. Oh, he was so good in the fourth, too. There it is. There's another one.
There we go.
I mean, I feel like no one... Was anyone actually offended? Like, I know that I assume that you two are not offended. It didn't seem like Mike Breen was bothered by it. I get the feeling that no one in all of basketballdom actually had a issue with the middle fingers.
No,
I think there was probably a parent or two that had a child there that maybe could have, you know, said something, but absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't think there was a lot of offense there. I think, though, frankly, given everything that was being said in the crowd, like the things that Kyrie did were probably nicer, right? We're probably a lot more tame. So, I don't think a whole lot of people had a problem with it. Do I think that he should have sort of gotten down to that level? No, because here's the thing, and I don't know if you guys agree with me on this. It feels like Kyrie, like, he's just very confusing. Like, I don't know what he stands for. I don't know where his, you know, if he was on one of these shows, his takes would be all over the place, okay? And so, you hear him after the game, he saw it was not hostility. Well, I mean, I don't know how else you'd describe it. Like, it's hostility, them towards you, and you right back toward them. And so, you know, he comes across as this guy who's so, like, enlightened and above everything else, right? But he's right in there in the dirt with these fans who, again, I'm not saying it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's very entertaining. It's better for the audience, frankly. It's certainly better for the folks that are there. But it just seems like the way he presents himself, he should be above this and just kind of laugh in their face when they win and then move on. But I wonder if it would have been a little bit different had they won the game and not lost the game. Maybe his post game would have been a little bit different. But I don't have a problem necessarily with it. Like I said, it makes it more interesting. But I didn't think he would be this guy, I guess, is the surprise for me.
Oh, yeah, we got to tweet the show.
Alistair, I've already tweeted the show, so I would just go ahead and self-praise. I tweeted the show. I'm doing a great job today. I think it would be funnier if Kyrie had gone ahead and shot, like, 2 for 19 and then done that, right? That to me is the only way I'm not entirely cool with it. I also have to ask what normal people would think of this, right? Like, I'm sure somebody was offended by a middle finger. That ain't me, especially in the playoffs, especially given the context of this, right? Is Kyrie going back to Boston, right? I generally have no fans expressing this kind of attitude towards Boston, Philly, let's see, random choice, Sacramento. Like, I have no problem with people being that kind of hostile to hostile crowds, right? You give, you get. It's part of the theater we pay for in sports. Kyrie's just not consistent about anything. Izzy's right.
Right.
Right? Like he's not going to be like Draymond. Do you know what Draymond does every single morning? Wakes up a heel. Just wakes up a heel, right? Just like, ah, it's a great day to be a villain. It's an awesome day to be a villain. Kyrie is like, I'm going to try on villain today. And then because he's a method actor, he's just going to try something new the next day. Like, I don't. That's the thing.
His inconsistency is consistent, and I, like you, appreciate, or like both of you, appreciate the antics. And if this is just a straw man, but the people who say, but my kids, like, if your kids have not seen middle fingers and you need to have a real serious conversation with them about middle fingers, then
they're all just fingers. Let's just normalize looking at fingers. It's not a huge deal.
they've seen worse, I'm sure. If they have computers or the iPad or whatever, they've seen a lot worse, or friends who have access to those things also. But to the series, I mean, KD stunk, which is very un-KD like. That should not continue. My guess is that this series continues to be competitive with close games at the end. I picked the Celtics to win in part because I think the last two possessions kind of are like microcosms for these teams. And as much as I hate like team basketball as real analysis, it does feel like the Celtics like play good quality team defense and on offense.
Yeah.
That final possession where everyone touched it, it felt like Marcus Smart even made the smart decision, which he doesn't always make, pump faking and stepping into the lane to make the pivotal pass. Like, this feels like a team that's well connected, a team that's been playing together for much of the season, and a team that has a go-to guy who got the ball in the right spot in the right situation.
So true about the team being together that moment, right? Because I'm sitting here laughing at him pump faking two guys out of the sky, and then Kevin Durant just sitting there watching the play go along. That is not five guys connected on defense. That is not five guys who even know how much time is left on the clock. Those two guys thought Marcus Smart was for sure getting that shot off because there was, 3 seconds left? He's going to, you know, he's got options there, so you still have to play strong defense. You're right. They're so much more together. And, Charlie's Tiny White Hands and I texted yesterday during that game, and he predicted before that it would be a great series. And I saw early on, and I was like, man, I don't know. I think Boston might be a little more physical. I think they're going to do that definitely to make up for Robert Williams not being in there, protecting the rim for you. And with those two guys and with that team that's just kind of like piecing it together as you go a little bit, I think eventually they're going to get worn out. I think eventually, you know, Kyrie's not going to have this type of performance every day. I think obviously Kevin is going to probably break out of this a little bit and have some good performances, but this is a great Boston defense. And yes, they lost one player, but they still have the head of the snake being Marcus Smart, possible DPOY, like top three and defensive player of the year. So I think they have enough to really make life miserable for the Nets. The thing about the Nets is that those two guys are so amazing. One of them can bring you to that level and that finish. But I think, you know, with Boston sort of taking that first game, sort of just breaking through a little bit, I think they'll probably win this thing in six.
I appreciate Dominique's consistency, by the way, and hating all things wholesome. That's really good. I mean, he's like, team basketball, no one likes that. Show me superhero ball.
Seriously.
Right? And, speaking of, you're going to get that when Kevin Durant eventually has a good game, which is the next game if you're betting, because that streak doesn't stay down for long. He's going to get his. The thing about this game that's confusing to me is that is anyone taking a really serious firm stance on anything coming out of it? Because there's a bunch of contradictory stuff if you look at the numbers, right? You go to the box score, there are so many confusing things, right? Like, yeah, Alistair, the Nets shot 53% against a really good Celtics defense. That probably won't happen again, right? Durant had an off night, right? Like, that's the Celtics had an outstanding offensive night. There are a lot of things that that you say one and another thing contradicts it in a one-point game. One single point, right? That's why this to me is a stereotypical game one, because no serious indicators, no trends, no nothing, outstanding competition, no reason to think this doesn't go seven.
Yeah. And historically, game ones are the ones you can kind of throw out. Like, they're the ones that are most anomalies than most. And so if, you know, it could go either way. This game is not really an indicator which way it's going to go necessarily.
I mean, I think also another thing that I hate, and I think most people agree with me that they don't like wholesome basketball because that's not fun. And that's not what we, okay, people like to pretend
Steph
like
Steph Curry
that,
wholesome
like,
basketball? I think he's wholesome basketball.
Steph Curry's got you fooled. Yeah. Steph Curry is the biggest wolf in sheep's clothing. But I mean, no one reminisces about that time where the Spurs moved the ball so much that the Heat couldn't keep up. Like, that is not.
You remember those 27 passes in that one possession? I don't know. I remember them.
Come on. No one cares about that. We care about when somebody blacks out and goes for 63 like Jordan did in a series that he lost. But we still talk about that like it was a memorable moment. Like, that's what we want. But the point I was making off the top is the Celtics' final possession looked like the Celtics how they play. And the Nets' final possession looked like how the Nets play. Kyrie was trying to find something, couldn't find it, kicked it back to Kevin Durant. Then he alone was trying to find something and took a really tough shot. What's happening, Alabaster?
And that was without a timeout
that
the Celtics did that. That's a team that's together.
Yeah, there's a bit of a coaching advantage on the Celtics bench compared to a coach who's a really great point guard, but not really a great coach yet. What's up, Alabaster?
I can't believe I'm taking the bait. But team basketball is awesome. That's when Jordan won championships, when he got into the triangle, and he's still scoring 35 a game, and everyone was getting touches. The 7-16,
I remember the rest of the team
Warriors.
Watching him hit game winners.
The 16 Warriors, avant-garde basketball. We always wanted that. LeBron on the Heat, but everyone was moving and getting touches.
That's when
the game is, Joga Bonito.
Oh, gosh. No one remembers
that. No one likes tiki-taka basketball. Nobody.
It is not, except for Messi.
It's interesting how he likes that style of play, but he refuses to talk about the Miami Heat this year, who do that all the time.
That is fair. The Miami Heat are underappreciated, in part because they play the boring kind. They don't got somebody that can black out. Well, I guess Jimmy Butler has shown the ability to, but he hasn't shown it much recently, but... Either way,
I don't think Duncan Robinson has even come to yet after that game yesterday.
If we're being completely honest, what would you rather see, that or Kevin Durant going off for 45? We all know we'd rather see Kevin Durant go off for 45, and I don't care how many people touch it. That's the truth, Alabaster, and you know it.
I mean, sort of, but sort of awesome when he was going off for 45 and playing team basketball.
But the biggest shot that he hit was that shot over LeBron, right, in the finals. Nobody touched it. The man walked down the court with a ball in his hand and shot a tray ball from 5 feet behind the NBA, from 5 feet behind the three-point line in LeBron's face. Like, that's what we remember. We talk about Jordan. His last shot in Chicago was no one else touched the ball but him pushing off Byron Russell and hitting the big shot. We talked about Jordan earlier in that 63-point game, him going through his legs a bunch of times and hitting a mid-range jumper over the Celtics. Like, that's what we care about. That's what we remember. Maybe that doesn't win championships, but that's what we like.
Okay, but
Charlie,
we
can we get like a quote tweet? Can we get a quote tweet with Dominique just saying, I don't care how many people touch it?
Yeah, we definitely can.
Good.
Yeah, I will say, not fun watching KD play with Russell Westbrook and no one touched the ball and them go run into walls against
that was aggravating, Dominique. You got to admit that was aggravating.
Didn't love that. Didn't love that. That is called an anomaly. That's what we call
it. I mean, not every superhero movie is created equal, y'all. Okay? Some of them are better than others.
That was definitely a DC category. By the way, nice t-shirt.
Thank you. Thank you.
Before we move on, you guys are going to be annoyed by this. I saw Spencer tweet it. I sent you guys a broken link at first. So if you could retweet the show, that would be amazing.
How are people going to watch if you keep giving us bad information?
I'm playing great team basketball. By the way, if you don't follow Kofi on Twitter, you should, because he sent my favorite NBA tweet thing I've ever seen, which was the train meme where one sad person is looking to the right of the left of the screen, right, looking away, and one is looking out towards a bright shining sun. And the sad person was advanced NBA stats nerd, and the happy person was that boy nice watcher. So that boy nice watcher in the NBA, I'm firmly in that camp, right?
Exactly.
I'm stupid. Make it easy so I can just point to the big guy and go, that was cool.
That boy
I mean,
nice.
Wait till we get to Giannis's nice. Big conversation. Dominique dominates that conversation.
Oh, I can't wait. But before that, we got this checklist that apparently we have to follow. You know that giving me these guidelines, Alabaster, just makes me want to, like, rebel. I'm trying, But I
doesn't
really,
work inside of a box.
Oh, I really want to give the Kyrie finger to your construct, but I will try to play along. What's the next topic?
Middle finger.
Let's go to Heat Hawks then.
No? Yeah, we got that. We got that.
Let's go to it next if Dominic wants to talk about
you know, someone who shattered expectations, and you know, he likes to play some hero ball, so maybe I can intrigue you guys. Have your expectations changed for Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves?
That's impressive. I cannot. I do not have that control over my ring finger as you do, Dominique. Oh, I can't. Man. It's just anyway.
Right, that is right so close to an FCC violation. So close.
Is that really? Does the FTC follow the Twitter musings?
Well,
I feel
like
FTC, we can get away with anything.
Thankfully, this is not a tradable stock, but the FCC might have something to do about it. FTC. That's the Federal Trade Commission.
SEC. Securities and Exchange Commission would be over the stocks, right? Like, we're not doing that. We're not in the ACC. We're not in the SEC. Mm-hmm. The Big Ten? Go Terps. Oh, there we go.
The finger.
As it changed
my angry as I've ever seen that finger.
Like, it feels like we are always on the wrong guy, it feels like, when we're talking about the Timberwolves. Last week, we were watching the Timberwolves, and we were talking about Karl Anthony Towns when we should have been talking about Anthony Edwards in the play-in game. Once again, where you put Anthony Edwards in the question, but I know he had 36 points, but the guy in this game to me was Karl Anthony Towns. Like, he played in a way that he rarely plays. He attacked the basket. That was the difference in this. He was like, that one dunk that he had is obviously the memorable play, but throughout the course of that entire game, he was going to the rim against Steven Adams in a way that I don't think that we associate with Karl Anthony Towns. And to me, it is shocking that Anthony Edwards is as good as he is, as young as he is, and as confident as he is, as young as he is. But the difference in that game and what determines how far this team goes is what Karl Anthony Towns we see. And the one that we saw in game one is an aggressive one, and that is a problem.
Ahead, yeah, Charles. I think Anthony Edwards is the one who makes that work because, you can focus Karl Anthony Towns. You can give him a role that he knows he can play against this. Last night, you know, this weekend's game was a test because if you can do that against Steven Adams, it's going to work, right? Yeah. Hitting Steven Adams and working against him one-on-one hurts. Ask Jimmy Butler, right, who said at one point, Steven Adams is from Krypton. That dude is strong. That is the quote. If he can do that, then they've got a nice 1-2 game going. The problem for the Timberwolves is going to be attrition because the Grizz are deeper. If they continue to take them deeper into this series, you're hoping on Anthony Edwards to continue being a wizard of bad shots going good, right? His shot selection, I think there's some crazy stat about, like, he had the most difficult shots in the game, and he made them all. And that's awesome for one game. It might be awesome for two games. But if we got a deep team and we're just going to run you ragged, then it's going to look cool up front. It's going to be real bad down the road.
Unless he's like, you know, 12 feet in the air about to jam it on somebody, it never feels like the Anthony Edwards shot is going to go. It always feels like, woof, that's a tough one. Oh, man, he made it. Woof. And even if it's wide open, like he's got a little bit behind the head kind of with his jumper, and it looks weird. But, man, if he's not going to be the best option on this team, at least they're going to realize it very soon. And this is really strange to me, all right? So how many guys do you think in the league, like star players, maybe play one-and-done guys, come into the league and say, I'm going to be the best player who's ever played the game? Like, how many people say that out loud, do you think?
Probably half.
Like a percentage.
Half.
You think half of them? You think it's that many?
Oh, no. It's the difference between believe it and say it. I think lots of guys say it. I think Anthony Edwards might be one of the only guys who, if we hooked him up to a lie detector test, Neil would not jump when he said it.
And it's funny because I'm not talking about Anthony Edwards. I'm talking about Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns said that to me, like, and to other people, like, out loud his second year. And I was like, wow. Like, okay, it's not even an insult to him. It's like, I mean, I can't even imagine a world where Karl Anthony Towns is the best player ever. Like, you know what I mean? It's almost like the reverse of back in the day where they couldn't think of a guard as the best player ever. Now I can't think of a big man as the best player ever. But that's his mentality still. And so it's going to be interesting how they work with that dynamic and who is it. Because if they're both going like this, okay, great. But when it's, you know, when it's a closer game, whose team is it going to be? Who gets the first touch? Who gets the first look? And to me, that's going to be very clearly Anthony Edwards by the time this team really needs to figure it out. You know, by the time they get to the end of their run or whatever, that's what they're going to be doing. He gets, you know, to more spots on the floor more easily, can still, you know, even though it doesn't look pretty, can still hit a difficult shot, can still hit a three. And we know when he gets to the rim, if he tries to get there more often, will get fouled more often, will get to the free throw line. So I just think he's there. Fortunately for Karl-Anthony Towns, he is not that type of player, not that type of star that's just going to insert himself and just, you know, shove the other guy out of the way. He's very complimentary of Cat. He wants him, you know, thinks he's like one of the most talented bigs of all time. And so I think, you know, when they're both going, they're both going to look great. But if they, as a team, if they really need to pick one guy, to me, it's Anthony Edwards. You initiate offense with him. He's got to be your go-to player when it's all said and done. I know it sounds crazy because of the numbers, but.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards' quote that we just got pulled up is outstanding. I just feel we match up well against them. 1 through 15, everybody, the equipment guys, everything. Go ahead, Spencer.
Yeah, I was going to say, there are a lot of things I really love about Anthony Edwards. I love that he is an I'm confident in my shot guy. Two dudes on him, three dudes on him, I am confident in my shot, right? Wrong-handed on 1 foot, falling out of bounds, I'm confident in my shot. I absolutely love that. I also absolutely love that he has the confidence to use the word jack at the end of a sentence, which he did at the end. As far as I know, there are only two people in the world, maybe three, who can confidently use that. One is Pusha T, and the other is Anthony Edwards. Right,
because the third is Greg Cody. Greg Cody is the third.
Really? Okay. Okay. We give him a jack license. But yeah,
Dominique's favorite.
And you know, and Dusty Rhodes, R.I.P. Those are the people who could use the word jack at the end of a sentence. Because at the end of the game, when he was said, "What does this show about your style of play?" He's like, "Because he said, because that shows that we're the ones, jack."
He's outstanding, right?
Are you sure that wasn't just the reporter's name?
Yes. I hope not. Yeah. This is what you were talking about earlier, Spencer. This is the kind of the great team, or actually the darling of the stat nerds, which is probably the Grizzly in That Boy Nice. I guess the Grizzlies have Ja Morant. Not I guess. Ja Morant also stands out. He has some dunks in this game that stand out as That Boy Nice. But to me, at least, depth in the NBA playoffs is kind of overrated. Like I think like roster flexibility is something that you can have without like a great deal of depth, but there are only so many good players and there are only so many like playoff caliber players. And as the series go on, you would think you get more and more guys on the floor, but that's not what happens. The lineups tighten, and I could imagine the Timberwolves pulling this upset, even though like the stat nerd inside of me that I really hate him. I don't like him. He's in there. The rest of the little people inside me beat him up regularly and stuff him in lockers. He is yelling and screaming that the Grizzly are going to pull it out and win this series.
Well, it's interesting because you look at the, like in the regular season, what happens in the regular season? The teams that play really hard, like last year's Knicks, play really hard. They're going to win a good number of games if they're any good. This Grizzlies team play, I mean, you cannot win by the greatest margin in the history of the NBA without playing hard the whole time, right? You're not just going to coast to a 70-point victory. And so what happens when you get to the playoffs is, yeah, the other teams are going to play that hard, and they're going to know you a lot better than they did in that time where they had maybe a half a day to prepare for you. So I think this is where the Grizzlies come. Not saying that they're sort of coming down to earth or anything. It's just saying it's a reminder that this is how the other teams are going to come at you, and you've got to match that. And I think as explosive as the Timberwolves are, with a bunch of three-point shooters, including, you know, your two best players can put up 10 in any given game, and they have that youthful energy, I think they're definitely going to be able to compete with you. But I think, you know, eventually they'll cool off. The Grizzlies will probably take the series.
What you got, Allie?
Did you guys see what Ja Morant posted on his Instagram story after the game? He seems very confident. He has upside down, upside down.
We'll That's wild.
We got him posting the Last Dance, Michael Jordan. It's just one game thing.
I love it. And Anthony Edwards responded. Not yet. Does he have one coming? You have to come back. What is the proper response? I don't know what I don't know what the right response is.
Everything upside down.
I know this. I know Anthony Edwards absolutely loved, like, I know Anthony Edwards is real because he loved Memphis's crowd talking about how they got 8 and 10 year olds yelling "you suck" at him.
And they also are yell and whoop that trick at some point throughout the game, which is
great. I would probably respond, Dominique, to answer your question with somebody like opening like an engagement ring with a box in it, right? With a box, and there's nothing in it. Oh. And there's nothing in it because Ja has nothing. No rings, nothing. You can't talk like Michael
Jordan.
That is
fair.
Man,
that's
man.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think,
do have.
I think also maybe tweet back a shot of Jordan in a Wizards jersey. That may be also the way to go. Yeah.
Or Jordan on the sidelines of a Hornets game right now.
Or Jordan holding a bat in a minor league game, which doesn't carry the same amount of weight.
Oh, yeah, I like that. All right, last question before we move on. Who is the third? Like, if you have to draft all the players in this series, who's number three? Presumably, you go, well, I guess we could go all the way through because maybe you would feel differently than I do. Izzy, who do you draft? Who's the first pick, second pick, third pick in this series?
I got Ja Edwards, Cat.
Yeah, that's what I thought. What about you, Spencer?
Yeah, I got to go to the same order, but if you make me go to four, I just want something big to park in the lane, right? So I'm gonna get a lightly used Steven Adams off the lot for that.
No,
or a Dominic Foxworth candle will probably do the trick.
Oh, a monster candle! All right, what's next, Allie? Yeah.
All right, we're gonna move on to everyone's favorite team, the 76ers, and our question is: after they came out and played well as a team, and Tyrese Maxey went off, did Game One squash your playoff concerns for the 76ers?
I mean, I think the reasonable response is no, but I'm irrational, so yes. It forced me to look, because my original reaction is no, I still have concerns. But then I did like a bit of a deep dive on Tyrese Maxey, and like, this isn't it's a high watermark for him, but it's not a complete aberration. Like, he is capable of repeating this. It's not like his first 30-point game. He doesn't get as many shots, but in this series, he's going to get more shots. Joel Embiid told us this before the series started. They were going to try to take him out of the game. And as long as Harden finds him, as he was doing, and Tyrese Maxey, like, I think Tobias Harris can continue to do what he's doing. And I think Tyrese Maxey can continue to – and they don't need 38 from him. They won by a ton. So I think he can continue to give him 20 to 30 points a game, which, yeah, this changes the way I feel about them going forward.
Yeah, Tyrese Maxey to me is like sort of the definition of get in where you fit in, because he fits in perfectly on this team. He's just like a gnat. It's just doing everything, like offensively, just kind of literally finding his spots and hoping James finds him, and he's got space to get in. And he does have this ability to repeat that. That's not sort of an anomaly type of a game, especially when you're paying that much attention to Embiid. The thing about them is the Sixers is, yes, this sort of calms me down for the first round, especially when you see Scottie Barnes probably won't play in game two. Gary Trent might not play in game two. So it's not looking good for Toronto right now. But I still don't have a ton of confidence in a team that's initially led by James Harden. And it just seems like you can take him out of his game without all the attention that you used to have to pay to him. And so, yeah, he got the 14 assists here, but his shooting numbers are still not great. And if Tyrese and Tobias struggle, because, you know, even with open shots, they could miss them, right? If they struggle and you're relying on Harden again, I have a hard time trusting that. And so if you're telling me that it is Joel Embiid and then a trio of Maxey, Harris, and Harden, and any of those can come up big on any, great. But the usage rate has to reflect that, because it can't just be James Harden, dribble, 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 and then hopefully these guys go off, because I don't know if that formula is necessarily working. It hasn't before, so why would it now? Just because Embiid's in the middle?
Yeah, I think that's a big difference.
But it's not the same James Harden, and he's not getting the same opportunities. You know what I mean? So it's not like you could plug in Joel Embiid back in those Houston days and say, okay, play the exact same way, because you couldn't. It's an entirely different style. And so I just think eventually, if you take a little bit less responsibility off of Harden's hands and just trust the rest of your team, I think that's probably the better way to do this.
Yeah, if everybody's rebounding, this team is worry-free for a round. Although, in context, that has a lot to do with Toronto's injury situation. So, yes, I have short-term good news. And, yes, maybe more long-term doubts, which is probably what every Philly sports fan is expecting anyway. That's way too much good news for the Sixers all at once. They were ready for some bad news. Down the road, you still have to go with James Harden leading a playoff team into a pressure situation, which I am not saying that the man chokes. I'm saying he's volatile. It's a volatile asset. Sometimes it's up 100 in a day. Sometimes it's down 200 in a day. We'll see.
He doesn't choke, but he doesn't chew his food quite properly. So there's always a threat.
He's always a threat. Cryptocurrency James. He's just he's a speculative asset. I like that. We talked to SEC earlier. Let's get back to that. So I do think, I mean, I guess maybe I thought they were going to lose this series. I don't think that anymore. And one game shouldn't change my opinion, but it does. And the Scottie Barnes injury, I think, does impact that quite a bit. But the way that they played and the way that that Embiid played, the way that they could play without Embiid being a dominant scorer, like, made me feel really confident about how they're going to play in this series. The Raptors don't have anyone taller than 6'9", which I thought was going to be a problem. Yeah, the Raptors, they're a small team, and I thought that was going to be an issue.
Check those wingspans, though.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be an issue. 7 feet. I thought that was going to work to their advantage in being small and running Embiid, but if Embiid does not involve himself in the offense in the way that he normally does, like, this might be a series off for them as long as everyone else continues to play this well, which I think they can. Like, I can expect Harden to shoot better. I think Tyrese Maxey won't shoot nearly as well, or he'll probably shoot the same but won't get as many shots. I think it's reasonable to assume that they're going to win this series fairly easily, honestly.
I mean, you can count on, like, one Embiid supernova game. You know, like, every fourth game or fifth game, I look up and Embiid has, like, 50 points, 20 rebounds, right? 10 assists or something. Like, he'll go off for one of those because it feels weird to talk about the Sixers and sleep on him, right? On somebody who's such a dominant force on the floor. It feels so weird to do that.
Out of respect, because I think we anticipate that he's going to give us what he always gives us. Sorry, right. Go ahead, Israel.
Nope, not that. No matter who the Raptors were going to play, it was going to be a unique matchup because of the size situation. They're just really long. They're not huge, but they're long and they defend really well. But this was a game where Joel Embiid sort of figured things out, was missing some shots, but trying to figure things out and see how, you know, it's not a defense he hasn't seen. It's just one of those where it might take him a little extra second to figure it out. And I think, again, with the injuries, you're probably talking seeing the Sixers at the very least go home comfortably 2-0, if not, you know, win this thing 4 or 5 games.
Are people making doctor versus nurse jokes on the internet?
I heard it early. Okay. I heard it early, and there wasn't any good ones, so I think it died.
I mean, it's so obvious that you got to come with, like, you got to come with something really smart because everyone's already thought of it. All right, Alabaster, that's your mission. Think of a good doctor nurse tweet.
I'll work on it. I feel like that's
getting closer and closer.
A dangerous path, but we'll go down. All right, I'm going to give you guys some takes.
How's it dangerous?
I'm going to give you guys some takes for our game of take it or leave it, and you guys can take the take. Or leave it. Call it trash. All right, first take. After one playoff game, we should view the Warriors as title contenders again, and the Suns, who have been dominant all year, should be scared of this Warriors team.
I need to think.
I think I need props for this segment because this one's definitely a trash. I'm going to leave this one. It's a trash take. Look, especially after one game, here's the thing that gets me. All right, so we're talking about this death lineup, right? This new death lineup, which, speaking of Dominique, they're trying to find new names for.
Yeah.
Not a good one yet. And it's the, you know, their big three, and then you throw in Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole, okay? So the problem I have with this is you compare this to the death lineup that included Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala, which is the most recent one, right?
Mm-mm.
Not the same. Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole are not Dre and KD. And while I will give you that this lineup might be better offensively, even, because, you know, maybe obviously not Draymond, but Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole can be, you know, spectacular score at any given time. They can't match the defensive play of that other team, especially when you've got KD essentially being a 7-foot big man. He just doesn't want to, you know, advertise himself as much. So I don't think it's the same. They only played 5 minutes. Yeah, it was a 20-5 run or something like that, but that's why I'm not, like, everybody wants to create this, make this leap and just tie it together to the old championship teams. Slow down. Not there yet. Trash take right now.
Poole and Wiggins. Like, there's something there with Wiggs and a pool. There has to be some sort of wordplay joke there that I'm not going to come up with before this show is over. What do you think, Spencer? Are you taking or leaving take?
I'm going to take it, but that's only because I care about the Suns a little bit. I want them to be happy and fulfilled. I do not want them to fall prey to first-round confidence or overconfidence. And I don't want these Suns to follow the route of previous Suns and just be an unfulfilled potential, right? A historical footnote, a great and beautiful thing that fizzled out somewhere in the desert. I don't want that. Take them seriously. Think of him as a title threat. Obliterate him. Don't take any chances. Like, that's to me, this Suns team is capable of doing that. You know, there's great potential, but also great potential for disappointment. So, yeah, no, I'm going to take it because I'm feeling motivational.
Has Chris Paul ever been more set to be a disappointment, which is saying a lot, more set to be a disappointment if he doesn't win it this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was where I was going with it, is like, there is no player that I, in recent history that I can think of, has ever had like a more do or die playoff year right now than Chris Paul. Like, I feel like the way that he is going to be remembered, like, this year is going to, how this playoff series goes, or not the series, how this entire playoff goes, is going to go a long way for how we talk about him as a historical great. I think he probably could make the argument has been the best true point guard in the history of basketball, but no one's going to call him that unless he can win a title at some point. And even though other players, I think, have had a lot more pressure on them, none of those players that I can think of have felt like it was almost over. You know, like, this is their last chance. I don't see a better opportunity for Chris Paul. So,
for that, crazy, because he just had a huge game at age 37, a 30-10 game in the playoffs, the oldest player to ever do it. But it's still, you're right. Like, this is far the best chance. Can't assume anything past this.
Yeah, and I mean, it's scary because he's had so many injuries in the playoffs that are kind of fluky and come out of nowhere. So, because of all of that, I'm going to leave it. I come to the same conclusion as Spencer, but I'm going to leave it. I think that we have to. It was kind of two takes in one. So, I guess, are the Warriors a legitimate kind of title contender? I think the answer is probably yes. But should the Suns fear them? Not a healthy version of the Suns. I don't think so. I think the Suns should be able to run them out of the gym the same way they've been running everybody out of the gym up until this point.
The first game, Steph and Clay combined for 23s, though, I'm going to change my mind. I'm just giving you a heads up.
That's fair.
Is the argument that I made about Chris Paul, does that relate to Steph in any way? Because as great as Steph's been, we've yet to see him have one of those moments that we were talking about in the past. Like, we've seen LeBron in his first stint in Cleveland put a bunch of mediocre dudes on his back. Like, those all-time greats, which Steph definitely is, like, he doesn't have really a playoff run where he was like, I'm that dude every week or every game, every night. I'm putting up big numbers.
You know what, Dominic? You know what you've got me wanting, which is terrible? I want to see Steph on another team. I want to see him do a little bit of the Chris Paul situation. Be like, oh, I can be great here. I can be great here. I want to see him maybe on the Knicks or something and see what happens, you know? Make sure it wasn't just a Clay and Steve Kerr thing.
I love that we took Take It or Leave It and we changed it to upgrade my take. We took a mediocre wild take and made it
Option
real
three.
Wild. Steph the man to trade. What you got next?
That's why you guys are the talent and I'm not. Because you guys actually have interesting things to say. All right, my next take. I think this one's going to be spicy. Okay, the Mavs lost game one to the Jazz. But my take, the Mavs would have swept the Jazz if Luka was healthy. And if Luka was healthy, Donovan Mitchell would be demanding a trade in like 2 weeks.
Leave it. Donovan Mitchell may be demanding a trade in 2 weeks no matter what. But I'm definitely leaving that they would sweep the Jazz and all that stuff. I don't know. I have more respect for Rudy Gobert in first game series than I do deeper. Oh, did you fold
that
it up
me.
And put it in your
I
breast
did.
Pocket?
I took it. I took it, and I kept it. Although there's a button on the pocket, so I kind of ruined it. But anyway. I'm taking it. I'm taking it. Because, first of all, like, going into these playoffs before the Doncic calf injury, I thought they were kind of the sleeper team. I know I wasn't alone on that. A couple guys had said they were kind of a sleeper team out west. And I did think that they would beat the Jazz as long as Luka's injury isn't that bad. So hopefully if he gets back, I still think they can. And yes, the second part of that, I think, is league-wide pretty much expected. I think you're looking at an offseason where Bradley Beal and Donovan Mitchell are going to be sought after and they're going to be discussed. And we're probably going to see, you know, maybe them change teams. I don't know. I don't want to do that to Dwayne Wade because I know it's very appealing to have a Donovan Mitchell on his team over there in Utah. But we can see that happening already.
Now, this is bait. Don't get me with a hypothetical. If. No, this isn't science fiction. I'm not doing that. He's not healthy, okay? Donovan Mitchell, he probably would be demanding a trade in 2 weeks anyway, right? It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with his overall career there. Also, I'm not going to disrespect an NBA team by saying they wouldn't take at least one. They're going to take at least one in a playoff series before bowing out gracefully. So, yeah, I'm going to leave that one.
Yeah, I'm leaving it too. I think they probably do win it if Luka's healthy. Now they don't win it without Luka, but they're definitely not going
to
sweep
them. You can leave it all to me. I will have that take all to myself.
You can have all the takes. All right, we got enough time for one more, Alabaster?
Yeah, we got one more. All right. But I have a question for you guys. Do you guys want to talk about the Heat, or do you guys want to watch this video of Marshawn Lynch doing donuts in the Zamboni?
You know what it is.
Yeah, all right, please.
No Heat talk.
Miami Heat talk, please. Why don't we just talk about the Miami Heat while we watch the video?
We're going to disrespect the Heat anyway, because, even if we say they're going to win, because that's just what Miami Heat fans are. Ooh. Yes! Yes!
Oh. Getting that Starbucks money, Marshawn.
It's the most Seattle thing ever. Them doing donuts on a Zamboni with a Starbucks on it at the Kraken's place. I mean, come on. You know, I see all these like little like donut marks all over the road in my area, and I'm like, that can't be safe. And everybody tells me, hey, look, these cars, they're built for these things. That's fine. It's not unsafe. I don't believe this is what the Zamboni was built for. I don't believe it. I believe that was not safe, and somebody should be careful here.
Do you live in like a Fast and Furious universe? Like, I don't see
donuts.
It's donut.
Crazy. All the every time. Single, you just see every single intersection in my neighborhood, you look, and I'm like, wow, somebody was busy last night. Somebody was busy the other night. I don't know what's going on over here, but it's a thing.
Yeah. By the way, keep it upside down. That looks even better. I like that. Tough. Alice just got access to upside down Twitter. That's like, you got to pay premium for that. By the way, congratulations, Izzy, on living in the street racing belt. Like at ATL, we have a fair amount of donuts and random screeching in the night from cars with very large engines. Yeah. Also, by the way, what we're doing is disrespecting the Heat, which is what they want anyway, because by failing to go ahead and say that they're going to win a title, we have disrespected the Heat. This is what every Miami fan wants. This is what they are saying right now. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to be an accomplice. I'm going to feed you, okay? Yeah, I'd rather watch Marshawn Lynch do donuts on the Zamboni, which I'm sure it has not been road tested for. I'm going to go ahead and say that too.
Yeah, he's just going to dig a hole. But, I mean, if you guys want us to talk about you, then don't blow out the team. Like, it's nothing to talk
about. Don't be great. My bad. Yeah, got to be way more like the Brooklyn Nets and the Lakers.
I mean, we would talk about you if there was a game winner. We would talk about you if I didn't turn it off after the first half. Like, I have nothing to say because I did not see 50% of that game. You guys are a lot better than them. Gonna blow them out. I'll pay attention to Miami when they play someone on their level. And also, you guys need to move. Like, it's too dangerous where you are right now. You can't be living in a place where people just donut in your intersections all the time. It's absurd.
How do you know it's not me?
I know you.
I don't know it's not you.
You are not donut.
I don't know it's not you. I also, you know what, things are getting kind of crazy around here too, because I also had my food delivery service stolen from my front door last Monday. So now I have to have like a watchman out there making sure that nobody's stealing my food. I got to eat. You know what I'm saying?
What kind
Just
of
like
maniac
I
got to
talk about the
you?
Miami Heat.
Who does it? Like when you order food, it is protocol to check your phone every couple seconds and peek out the window like Malcolm X in that famous
It's a
picture.
Weekly
like, me,
it's a weekly
way.
Meal plan thing. It's dropped off overnight. Oh. It dropped off overnight, which so it's like I got a text at 2 a.m. I'm not getting up at 2 a.m. and going out and taking this.
I thought it was like Uber Eats or DoorDash or something. They stole some raw food from you. It was uncooked.
It was cooked. It was cooked. It's all cooked and it's kept in the refrigerator. If you want more details, I'll tell you. It's Fit Food Fresh if you want to look them up.
No, I thought people were stealing your food and then going home and cooking it, which feels like an extra level of disrespect. Like, if you steal my bag of food that's fresh and ready to eat, go ahead. You take it home and read
this. This is not better than Heat Talk.
I feel better if they just brought it back, right? Like, that would be an insult. If they brought it back. They just feel like,
with a little note that said, I'm sorry. Really sorry, I'm not really a huge fan.
Keep it. Sincerely.
No worries.
Gotta give candles right.
So we're not, all right. You know what? This was a setup from the beginning. Clearly it was the last topic and we were never gonna talk about it. But the countdown can't go too fast because look, tomorrow's Tuesday. You know what Tuesday is? Tyler Tuesdays. Tyler Hero averages about 77 points a game on Tuesdays this week. Going to be an absolutely huge Tyler Hero Tuesdays. Trust me,
he's
gonna have a
huge game. What do you do? You like wear funny clothes?
The world calls it Tyler Tuesdays. Look it up.
You wear funny clothes and like date Instagram models? Is that what why Tyler not, Tuesday happens?
Yeah. Why not Tyler Monday? The disrespect. The disrespect, yeah. Izzy, for the entire city of Miami.
Tyler Thursdays?
Mm-hmm. Tyler every days.
Make the whole week.
Man, these
by the way, they're not on the Round the Horn rundown either, the Miami Heat.
Sorry if you don't like heroes.